Bibles, let's go to Acts chapter 27. Acts chapter 27. If you're visiting with us, thank you for being here. Right after church, Riley will pull up a code on the screens. If you not fill that out, if you would click on that, fill that out. We'd just like to have a record of your visit. Appreciate you being here. Make yourself at home. Amen. It's our prayer that you will feel Jesus. Amen. It ain't got nothing to do with the preacher. It ain't got nothing to do with the singers. It's all about him. Amen. And if we ever get to the point where it ain't about him, we'll cease to be what we need to be. Amen. Acts chapter 27, when you get there, let's stand in honor of God's word. Amen. We can stand for the president. We can stand for everything else. I believe we ought to be able to stand for the word of God. Amen, if you're able. Acts chapter 27, verse 1. And when it was determined that we should sail into Italy, they delivered Paul and certain other prisoners unto one named Julius, the centurion of Augustus' band. And entering into a ship of Adrianum, we launched, meaning to sail by the coast of Asia, one Artichius, a Macedonian of Thessalonica, being with us. And the next day we touched at Sidon, and Julius courteously entreated Paul and gave him liberty to go unto his friends to refresh himself. And when he had launched from thence, we sailed under Cyprus because the winds were contrary. And when we had sailed over the Sea of Cilicia and Pamphylia, we came to Myra, a city of Lycia. And there the centurion found the ship of Alexandria sailing into Italy, and he put us therein. And when we had sailed slowly many days and scarce were come over against Cnidus, the wind not suffering us, we sailed under Crete over against Salmon. And hardly passing it, came into a place that is called where the fair havens were nigh, whereunto was the city of Lycia. And now when much time was spent, and when sailing was now dangerous, because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them and said unto them, Sirs, I perceive this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading of the ship, but also our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master of his owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. And because the haven was not commodious to enter in, the more part advised to depart thence also, if by any means they might attain to thence, and there to winter, which is in the haven of Crete, and lieth toward the southwest and northwest. And when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete. God, we love you. We come to you in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray right now, Lord, you just move in this church. God, touch hearts. Help us right now, Lord, as we do our very best to preach what you've laid on our heart. God, most of all, God, I pray right now, Lord, that you just let this speak to people, God. Lord, there's folks right now that's in storms, God. There's folks right now that's in trouble. And, Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit move through this, God, and speak to their heart. Whatever's done, we'll praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. I don't know if you noticed when I first started reading this, Paul is a prisoner. Paul has been locked up for preaching the gospel. He is in jail for preaching the gospel. He is a prisoner. Paul does not have any choice in the matter of being in this storm. Understand that you got to get this into context. The Bible talks about how they changed ships and all this was going on. And the Bible, this is one of the stories of the Bible calls it Euroclodon, what you and I would call it today, a typhoon or a hurricane that they were in. And let me just go ahead. I want to preach a little while on this thought. You can make it. Amen. You can make it. We all facing something. Everybody in this church right now is going through something. We're facing something. There's something going on in our lives. Every last one of us, it might not be a Euroclodon. It might not be a hurricane. It might not be a typhoon. It might just be a little storm in your life. But I'm just telling you, whether it's financial, whether it's family, whether it's physical, we're all facing something. But I want you to notice just a few things this morning. Number one, I want you to look at this. There were contrary winds. The Bible talks about the winds being contrary in this. As I was thinking about this, the word contrary, and I wrote this down in my Bible right there in verse 4. And when we had launched from thence, we sailed under Cyprus because the winds were contrary. That word contrary means to be opposite or to be against. You ever felt like everything was against you? You ever felt like this thing was just falling apart around you? You ever felt like, you know, I'm facing this storm and it seems like nobody else is facing the storm? But you got to understand, so if you read your Bible and study your Bible, the Bible says in Mark chapter 4, verse 37, and there arose a great storm of wind and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. Luke chapter 8, verse 23 says this, but as they sailed, he fell asleep and there came a storm of wind on the lake and they were filled with water and they were in jeopardy. If Jesus faced storms and his disciples face storms, guess what? You and I are going to face storms. It should not shock us that the storms come. What should shock us, if you're saved, if a storm don't come? That's when you need to realize there's something wrong, there's something going on, there's something not right in my life. Hey, if the devil ain't fighting you up one side and down the other, I doubt you're saved, amen? We got to realize contrary winds are something common that you and I have to face. So what did Paul teach him? In Acts chapter 27, verse 9 through 11 says this, now when much time was spent and said it was now dangerous because the fast were already past, Paul admonished them. Paul's preaching to them. Paul is trying to tell them. Basically, in layman's terms, Paul said, listen, this ain't good. I believe Paul was a smart man, Brother Robert. I believe Paul could tell something wasn't right in the atmosphere. Paul said, there's something coming, and we might lose the ship, and we might lose our lives if you don't listen to me. When's the last time you came to church, and the preacher tried to tell you? You heard a sermon online. You heard a sermon on the radio. The preacher tried to tell you, opened up the Word of God. You read the Bible, and God tried to tell you, contrary winds are coming. What are you facing right now? Amen. Everybody in here. I can remember times in my life, Brother Tony, that I would come to church and the preacher would preach, you know, and I'm trying not to get ahead of myself in this message, but you got to understand something. When the man of God stands behind the pulpit, like David said something this morning, don't get upset at the messenger. Don't get upset at the mailman for delivering the mail. And God's trying to teach us. God's trying to show us, hey, if you do this and this, you're going to have to suffer the consequences. Paul said, I'm telling you, this ain't good. But you know what? There was contrary wind, but don't you notice something else? The calm sea. Verse 13, and when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete. You ever heard of the calm before the storm? Amen. Let me go ahead and tell you something, folks. Just because things calm down, they thought everything was all right. Just because the Bible says the south wind blew softly, and those that were in charge of the ship, those that were the owners of the ship, they said, hey, everything's going to be good now. We don't need to listen to that preacher. Everything's gonna work out now. I knew that preacher was crazy. We don't need to listen to what he's trying to tell us. Let me go ahead and tell you something. The south wind's gonna blow softly in your life. Satan's gonna make sure of that. And it's the calm before the storm. You got to realize people get out of church and things look good for a while. People get out of church and it seems like, you know, hey, we quit reading our Bible and we quit coming to church and we quit doing the things that we know we're supposed to be doing. And it seems like everything's calm for a little bit. But guess what? That's just the calm before the storm. You better understand something. There's a storm coming and it might not be a Euroclodon like they face, and it might not be a typhoon, but there's a storm coming because the devil wants to kill, steal, and destroy, and he's doing his very best to do that in your life. Amen. After the calm storm, they take off. And there was a storm that came. Verse 14 through verse 15 says this, but not long after, there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclodon. And when the ship was caught, we could not bear up into the wind. We let her drive. Somebody in this building right now, somebody listening on YouTube or on Facebook right now, you're in that soft wind phase. Everything's calm right now. It seems like everything's going good right now. But there's a storm coming. There's a storm coming, amen. The Bible says right here, and this phrase, Clint, stuck out to me years ago when I read this. And the Bible says right there, and when the ship was caught, in other words, caught in the storm, caught in the wind, we could not bear up into the wind. In other words, he was saying we could not steer the ship. Everything we did, nothing seemed to be working. And he said, and we let her drive. In other words, what Paul was saying right there, and when the storm came, we just turned loose and let it go where it wants to. Somebody's got to be in charge. Amen. Amen. You cannot just, somebody's got to make decisions. Somebody, some mom, some daddy ought to stand up and say, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Just like Joshua said last week, as for me and my house, we're going to go to church. As for me and my house, we're going to do what we're supposed to. Somebody's got to make the decision to not, don't just let everything fall apart. I know the devil's fighting. I know it's going. I know sometimes it's tough. I know sometimes it's hard. But somebody's got to make a decision. We're going to do what's right. We're going to hang in there. We're not going to quit. Amen. Amen. I heard a story one time years ago when President Ronald Reagan was a young teenager. They said his mama took him to a shoemaker to get him a pair of shoes. And the shoemaker asked him, he said, well, do you want rounded toes or do you want square toes on your shoes? He said, well, I don't really know. He said, okay, well, just think about it, you know. Well, about a week or so went by and asked him again. He said, well, you want square toes or you want round toes? He said, well, I'm not really sure. He said, okay, well, come back next week. I'll have your shoes ready. He came back the next week. True story. Came back the next week. He had one shoe with a round toe. One shoe with a square toe. And the man to him said, just ought to teach you a lesson. Somebody's got to make a decision. Because if you don't make the decision, somebody else will make the decision for you. If you don't make the right decision, Satan will make the decision for you. Mamas and daddies, you listen to me. You make a choice today to stay out of church. Your kids will never go to church. You make a choice today to quit church. Your kids will never go to church. You better make your mind up today. I'm going to do what's right. Hey, I'm telling you right now, there's a storm came, and a storm came, and everybody on that ship was in danger because the wrong choice was made. How many families do we have right now in danger because the wrong choice has been made? The storm's coming. Are you prepared? The storm's coming. Are you prepared? Wrong decision. Now listen. Wrong decisions led to certain dread. Now listen to Acts chapter 27 verse 20 says this. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was taken away. All hope was gone. You ever been that desperate? Where it seemed like all hope was gone. You ever been so far down that you couldn't see the light of day? Have you ever been so far down? I mean, listen, most people never get this bad. Let's just be honest, okay? I mean, most people, we can see a way out. Most people, we know there's help. But I'm telling you right now, these folks on this ship had got to a place, Brother David, where they had no hope. All this was nothing but certain dread. All hope taken away. You got to make a decision to live. You got to make a decision. As I was studying this, most of y'all know I love history. I had to look this up and figure it out. There was a guy named Poom, P-O-O-M, Lim, L-I-M. He survived 133 days on a life raft. His ship, the Ben Lomond, was sunk by a torpedo on November the 23rd, 1942. Though there were others that were saved, about a day later, Greg, he saw five other people off from that ship on a raft. He was the only one that made it. You know why he was the only one that made it? He didn't quit. He didn't quit. I don't know how far you are now. I don't know how far down you are right now. And maybe you're at that point where you think there's no hope. Maybe you're at that point where you think there's no help. I'm telling you right now, there's a man on our side. His name's Jesus, glory to God. And if he loved you enough to go to that cross and die on that cross for you, he loves you enough that no matter how far down and no matter how far you go, he's still there for you. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I don't care if you're in the deepest valley. I don't care if you're in the hardest storm. Jesus Christ said, I'll be right there with you. I'll be right there with you. You can make it. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. It don't matter how far down you go. John chapter 15, verse 7 says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you can ask what you will and it shall be done. You got to make a choice. You got to make the choice. I ain't quitting. I ain't quitting. Paul, yeah, they were just certain. Everybody on that ship said, oh, we can't make it. There's no way we can make it. But praise God, there was a little preacher on that ship. And understand something. Most people think he was a little small guy, less than 6 foot tall, that had bad eyes. If you study about the Apostle Paul, hey, there was somebody on that ship that had been talking to the Lord. Amen. Let's look at what this little preacher had to say. Verse 21, or verse 22 says, and now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you but of the ship. He said, we all going to make it. The ship ain't going to make it. We all going to make it, but the ship's not going to make it. For there stood by me this night the angel of the Lord, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer. I believe God that it shall be even as it was told to me. Paul said, be of good cheer. We all gonna make it. Amen. If you saved this morning, you're going to make it. If you're in here and your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you're going to make it. You might have to make it. You might have to make it struggling. You might have to make it through a storm. But glory to God, you're going to make it. You understand it? If your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you're going to make it. Paul said, be of good cheer. Paul said, God's already told me that I got to stand before Caesar. So this ship can't kill me. Amen. This storm can't kill me. Amen? Amen? That ought to be your attitude this morning. Paul goes on to say, and this is the thing that got me, Adam. Paul said, and I believe God. Amen. You know the problem with most Christians? They start doubting this word. When you start doubting this word, that's when the devil gets in, amen? You got to understand, I believe God. I believe I'm going to make it. Why? Because I believe what the Bible says, amen? Hey, I might not look like a whole lot when I get through, but glory to God, I'm going through, amen? Paul said, we're all going to make it. Do you have enough faith this morning to make it through the storm? Do you have enough faith to make it through the storm? We all in it. We all in it, amen? Don't you notice something? Paul comes to him, Jackie, and Paul tells him, we're all going to make it, but we got to, my God. Man, God just give me something right there. Paul said, we're going to make it, but we're going to have to ride it out. Go back and study that. I ain't got time. Paul said, we're going to make it. But we got to ride this thing out. Can't nobody get off the ship. Paul goes on, Paul says, can't nobody get off the ship. We're going to have to ride this. We're going to have to ride this ship all the way. Glory to God. Somebody ought to make up your mind this morning. I'm going all the way. I ain't going halfway. I didn't start this thing to quit. Amen. I'm going all the way. The Bible says in verse 31 and verse 32, Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved. Verse 32, then the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boats and let them fall off. In other words, they were what we would call lifeboats. Then some of these people, Clint, wanted to get get on the lifeboat, Paul said, I'm telling you, if they get off the ship, we all going to go down. And the soldiers had enough faith in them. Hey, I'm telling you right now, every once in a while, you realize the preacher knows what he's talking about, amen. And the soldiers cut the ropes and just let the lifeboats fall off.
Yeah.
Spiritually, what do you have in your life that needs to be cut off?
Amen.
See, as long spiritually, as long as we think we got lifeboats, as long as you think you got something else to fall back on, you ain't gonna make it. I realized a long time ago, Brother Terry, it's Jesus and Jesus alone. If I make it, it's going to be because of Jesus. And I'm telling you right now, I got enough confidence in him to realize that he ain't going to let me down. I've cut the ropes, glory to God. I've dropped all the lifeboats. There ain't nothing. Hey, the Bible says for us to lay aside the sin and every weight which does so easily beset us and let us run with this race that we're set before us. Amen. I'm going with Jesus. I'm either going all the way with Jesus or I ain't going at all without Jesus. That ought to be your mindset this morning. Paul said, except these, abide in the ship. Some of y'all got some friends that need to be cut off. Some of y'all got some family that needs to be cut off. Some of y'all got some habits that need to be cut off. Amen? Because you're in a storm. And you got to make up your mind, amen? You got to make up your mind. I understand. And I want you to notice something. And I'm coming to a close. Every one of them checked in when they got to shore.
Amen.
Not one person, Brother Tony, was lost. The Bible says in verse 43 and verse 44, but the centurion willing to save Paul kept them from their purpose and commanded that they which could swim should cast themselves first into the sea and get to land. And the rest, some on board, some on broken pieces of ship, and it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land. My God, I'm telling you, I'm going to heaven. I might have to swim my way there. I might have to come in on some broken pieces of wood, but I'm going to heaven. I'm staying with Jesus. Amen. You got to have a made-up mind. If you don't have a made-up mind this morning, you ain't going to make it. Brother Robert, come get us a song. I told you I'm a history buff. I love history. On July the 30th, 1945, the USS Indianapolis had just finished delivering uranium for the little boy bomb that was dropped on Hiroshima. They delivered their payload, and then on July the 30th, they were torpedoed by a Japanese submarine. 1,195 crewmen on the ship. 300 went down with the ship. 890 men was in the water. If I'm not mistaken, I think it was for 4 days. For 4 days, these men were exposed to exposure to the sun, dehydration, salt water poisoning. Some even committed suicide because they lost all hope. But the worst thing was sharks. If you go back and study this out, this is the worst case of a shark attack in history. Of the 890 men that went into the water, only 316 men survived. Some committed suicide. Some started having hallucinations. They got their eyes off what they need to keep their eyes on, and they let their focus lax. Some would even say, you know, just a few feet down is fresh water. If you drink salt water, you die. They would go down and just engulf it, Greg, and die. Some would see hallucinations and try to swim, Chucky, and try to swim to it. You know why? You know why these men made it? You know why only 316 men made it? They wanted to. They wanted to. You can make it. My God, you got to want to. You can make it. But you can't quit. you can make it. The devil tells you there ain't no hope. The devil tells you your family won't never be right again. The devil tells you your health won't never be right again. The devil tells you you ain't gonna make it. There is no hope. But I'm telling you right now, on the authority of God's word, you can make it.